Have Noam X added the speakers. Just going to give it a few minutes for people to join the space, and then we'll dive in with some introductions, etc. I think perhaps if we kick off with some introductions now, it'll still give time for people to join the space and not miss too much. Noam, would you mind just giving a quick introduction to yourself and also kind of what Binary Builders are doing in relation to the tokenomics grant that we've awarded you?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Noam. I work at Binary Builders. We're the primary maintainers of the Cosmos SDK, and we run the Interchain Builders program. And we have a company called Numia. We do analytics. And so, yeah, we've recently been awarded a grant from the AADAO to do some work on the future of the hub, the tokenomics specifically. And we're working on three modules. One of them we'll be discussing today, the Atom Alignment Treasury. And the other two, one of it's called the Developer Revenue Incentivization Program, or the DRIP, which is a better way to do community funding, basically, which, I'm posting that on the forum this week, by the way, for those interested. The other thing we're designing is a stability reserve fund, which is basically a way of saying when Atom is doing well in USD value, we put some Atom aside. When Atom is not doing so well, like in a bear market, we use that Atom to pay for some of these like basic expenses that we hold very valuable, such as our validators and maybe some critical development costs. Yeah, and so the Atom Alignment Treasury is a whole different thing, and we'll get to that once we're all here and ready to get started.
Max, I see you keep dropping up and down, so I don't know whether you will be able to speak, but it'd be great just to get a brief intro from you and also explain TimeWave in relation to some of this. We can get into the details later, but just a quick intro would be great.
Hey, everyone. My name is Max. I'm one of the co-founders of TimeWave. TimeWave is an offshoot of the Cosmos Hub white paper. I was one of the co-authors of that paper and the lead architect of the interchain allocator in that paper. With TimeWave, we wanted to make sure that we learned the right lessons from that Prop 82 no with veto, and the ideas in there, first of all, it was just a lot of ideas. And second of all, they were pretty big and out there and not... they could have been more specific. And so at TimeWave, what we're trying to do is create like the most specific, the most actionable things right now that allocate capital more efficiently within Cosmos and the broader interchain. We are starting out with covenants, which are DAO to DAO, blockchain to blockchain economic agreements. We can get more into what that is. That's TimeWave and myself. I've been in crypto since 2017, and it was actually Cosmos that inspired me to YOLO into crypto in the first place. I was really inspired by the ideas in it, in that original white paper, reignited my passion once IBC shipped and I started to see what was happening. And so for the past year and a half, I've been exploring how to be of most value to this community, and Allocator, TimeWave is my and my team's best bet on how best to do that.
Awesome. Thank you both very much. We are expecting both representatives of the Stride team and Neutron to join us. However, I think that everyone knows them well enough that they can probably just join and dive in without an intro when they eventually get here. I know that there may be reasons why they're running slightly late. So I guess without too much more sort of stalling on my part, it would be really good just to get into sort of some of the nitty-gritty. So really looking at growth within the Atom Economic Zone. And I suppose it's kind of one of the key thoughts that's been doing the rounds recently is around protocol liquidity. So I wondered if that would be a good sort of starting point in terms of what sort of, why do we think that, that why does it seem that that is playing a key role in what we anticipate will drive growth within the Atom Economic Zone?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, like historically, the hub has been, sort of like this credibly neutral platform that, you know, wasn't specifically opinionated on anything that's happening within Cosmos. But then with Interchain Security, that sort of went away in the sense that, you know, now Atom holders benefit from the success of Neutron and Stride and other consumer chains and projects that are launching on there. And so this credible neutrality is sort of shifted, and we are sort of like biased in some sense to the growth of what's happening within the AEZ. And so, how can you facilitate growth, right? And you know, if you take a look at a project like Stride or take a look at a project like Astroport, what attracts users there, specifically a place like Astroport, if there's a lot of liquidity, there is going to be much more a frictionless way to trade, so it's be more interesting to trade there. And in some sense, you know, we are invested in the success of these protocols, and we want them actually to succeed more than we want, for example, Osmosis to succeed. And so the hub has, quite significant amounts of money in the community pool. A lot of it's not being used. And, you know, I guess I'm not necessarily talking about like investments or anything, but we're talking about the usage of this liquidity in safe means and safe ways to provide liquidity on other networks like Astroport. And so the best example here is, again, the recent Stride proposal where 450,000 Atom was used. Half of it was liquid staked and benefiting Stride, and the other half of it was kept in Atom and then it was used in Astroport to create a participate in the LP position there between liquid stake Atom and Atom. And now that's a much more frictionless sort of environment. So that's generally, one of the things you can do as a hub. We have this protocol on liquidity available, and we can do a lot of really interesting things with it. And I know, Max, also you've thought about this topic maybe even a lot more than me. You guys have been building this out with TimeWave. So maybe you have some additional comments there.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share. POL is an acronym, Protocol Owned Liquidity, that a lot of people in crypto have heard. It was got especially popular with Olympus DAO a couple years ago. We're sharing a new meme called Liquidity as a Service. The idea is basically that instead of just having protocol and liquidity, you can charge additional fees on that to choose where you allocate that liquidity. And just to make sure that people are aware, a lot of this is stemming from a forum post in the forum that started with the Atom Alignment Treasury. Within that forum post, I had a response about liquidity as a service. And off the bat, I just want to help shape the relationship between these two because they are not competitive. They are highly complementary. Noam can speak more to the Alignment Treasury, but the idea there being that there will be a pool of capital that is specific to the Cosmos Hub to allocate. And the idea with liquidity as a service is that it is a strategy that the Cosmos Hub or any internet native organization that has liquidity or wants liquidity could use. And so what we posit in that forum post is that liquidity as a service would be we posit that's the best North Star for the Cosmos Hub. And Noam alluded that we've been thinking about this for a while. We've been thinking about this for about a year and a half now. A year and a half ago, when we were thinking about what to put in the Cosmos Hub white paper, I spent a lot of time reflecting on what is the Cosmos Hub the best at? What are its strengths? And how can we use those strengths to its best advantage? And the first things that come to mind are, one, the most liquid token, two, the strongest validator set. Those are really the two biggest things. And already we have replicated security that makes use of the validator set, but we're not really doing that much to make use of the liquidity. We could be doing a lot more. And right now we're defining the Atom Economic Zone as only blockchains that are secured by the hub's replicated security. And we think that this definition could become much broader. It could also include chains that borrow Atom. You could imagine a world where the first thing that a chain does is borrow Atom from the hub before actually entering into an economic relationship with the hub. And only if that chain wants to borrow more Atom, so it wants a higher limit, or they want a lower interest rate, at that point, they would choose to enter into a security relationship. And this has the dual benefit of not only making the hub's replicated security offering more attractive, because there is the potential for a race to the bottom here. As mesh security comes online, as EigenLayer comes online, fees might compress and be a race to the bottom. If you are able to also add liquidity in your economic package, similar to what happened with Stride, it can really supercharge the replicated security offering as well. So I already threw a lot out there, so why don't I take a break and let people ask some questions.
Well, yeah, I think I was going to start with just a really basic one, which is, like, why are protocols so obsessed with having deep liquidity? Like, I appreciate that's probably a super basic question, but I think it's such a fundamental cornerstone of the ideas that are built from here. I just want to make sure that we've covered why is depth of liquidity important.
I just wanted to point out that there was this thing on Twitter where we saw some whale, I think, sell or buy liquid staked Atom, and we saw like this huge spike in the prices, right? And that's why you need liquidity. So the more money is available on the AMM or in any sort of exchange, whatever version you have of it, the less the price moves when somebody, you know, wants to purchase or sell a large amount of assets. So when you see that slippage number and you're trying to sell a bunch of stuff and that slippage number is high, it's because there's not enough liquidity. That's a simple way of putting it.
Yeah, and I think in the context of that, probably what's important to recognize is that there was a sharp fall on the price of the staked Atom and of the SD Atom, and then it made its way back to sort of the soft peg, as it were, based on the redemption rate. So I suppose what happened over a period of time is that you get kind of people arbing, etc., but it gets back there. Actually, were the deeper liquidity, the total fall wouldn't have been as sharp, and then people who are trying to sell post that can actually do so without kind of being penalized because of the actions of the people before. So I think that's kind of useful to recognize. In terms of why that should come from a protocol, I just wondered if either of you would be kind of able to speak to that.
Yeah, I'm happy to share. So one of the things that we were thinking about was how if the hub wants to use its capital more efficiently, it faces structural disadvantages relative to other players. For example, if it wants to make an investment, it has to wait 2 weeks. If it thinks that, because that's the length of the voting period, if it wants to exit a position, it also has to wait 2 weeks. Both going in and coming out, the entire internet can front run this trade. And so the hub would be has these structural disadvantages. And so if it's going to have structural disadvantages, in order for it to have any hope of getting a profit by allocating its capital, you need to give it structural advantages. And so if we want to think about what sort of structural advantages we give it, making sure that those play to the strengths of the hub can help ensure that those are sustainable advantages. And so in the forum post, I mentioned a few ways of doing that, but liquidity is a really core way of doing it. Like it basically makes it such that the core product of the hub is Atom. And since it controls Atom, owns Atom, it's not necessarily even lending Atom, which is something I want to be clear. It's not lending Atom, it's lending Atom liquidity. In this Stride example, the 450,000 Atom, this isn't 450,000 Atom that's going to some wallet that an individual is owning and that one individual can now do with that Atom whatever they want. No, that the hub still owns this Atom. And the hub is ultimately what's in control of the printing or the burning of Atom, its own monetary policy. And so by using liquidity as its means of entering and exiting into positions, it does something that a VC can't do. Like most VCs don't have coins, at least not ones that I'm aware of. And so using POL, using liquidity as a service, it's something that is uniquely possible and uniquely advantageous for blockchains like the Hub.
Maps, could you just articulate, is there a difference between liquidity as a service and protocol-owned liquidity, or is this just a different framing?
So I would say that they are very similar. Usually when people think about protocol-owned liquidity, they are thinking about from the perspective of like their treasury and how they're going to deploy their treasury into various other things. And it's sort of like for the most part, it's usually like a one-party idea. Like I run this DAO, me and my friends run this DAO. We want to use our liquidity to enter into another position. Like it's usually that first degree of thought. Liquidity as a service takes that one step further to say, like, hey, I'm a member of a DAO or a blockchain, some sort of internet native organization, the token, and we're not sure where we want to allocate our liquidity. We are open to allocating it to project A, B, C, D, and we want to allocate it to whichever is the most strategic, but also who's willing to pay the highest fees. And liquidity as a service, it is the idea that you can structure these incentives such that project A can, like, yes, I will borrow at 1%. Project B might borrow at 0.5%. And so liquidity as a service is that opportunity that you're giving to others to borrow your liquidity. And there are all sorts of factors that can go into it, but that's really the core of it. POL is just that at first degree, you are unilaterally entering into position. Liquidity as a service is that second degree of like, hey, I am open to entering into any of these positions. Liquidity as a service is the market mechanism that will surface the demand that project A has for liquidity versus B, and have that liquidity flow to the most profitable place.
Just to jump in here. So I think, like, going back to what Max was saying, and I don't want to take up too much time, I want to make sure the floor is open for everyone else, but I think security, this isn't 2018 anymore. Like, shared security is going to be a commoditized trade. That just, I know Max already said that, is going to be a race to the bottom. The next best thing we can do is, like, there's not many assets out there in the crypto space today that I would say reached escape velocity to the point where people actually want to hold it. And Atom, I personally think, has kind of reached this social contract where people want to hold Atom in the Cosmos ecosystem. So what we're trying to think of is, like, security is not the only offering in the Cosmos Hub. The product of the Hub is Atom. How do you make Atom, or how do you incentivize more of like a soft lock-in to make other ecosystems, other chains and other projects in the Atom Economic Zone, the Wire Interchain, how do you make them more reliant on the Hub outside of security? Well, a lot of people want Atom, make Atom the base, you know, pairing in liquidity positions, make Atom the most, you know, I would say, yeah, I guess make Atom like the largest pairing in liquidity positions, and also you know, kind of jumpstart the economic engine of the Atom Economic Zone and the wider interchain economy, leveraging Atom liquidity. I know there's obviously some people that don't believe in protocol and liquidity, don't believe in liquidity as a service narrative, and they ultimately think, like, what is in it for Atom stakers? One thing I think you can do is, and this is something I'm kind of like riffing off right now, but the Hub community can also kind of institute in options like, look, if you want Atom liquidity, not only do you need to you know, borrow at a certain rate, but and not only do you actually need to, like, maybe start out on Neutron, for example, like, let's actually incentivize people to launch on Neutron to drive more economic activity, but maybe you also need to airdrop a certain percentage of your supply to Atom stakers. I think early on in the Cosmos ecosystem life cycle, a lot of projects that were launching in the Cosmos ecosystem started airdropping because they wanted to have like a large base of initial users. And they started airdropping a decent supply, Osmosis being a great example, to the Cosmos Hub community. But you're starting to see that kind of that go away. Namada is a great example. Namada is, I think, a really promising project in the Cosmos ecosystem. And only a portion of their supply was, I believe, airdropped to Osmosis. None was airdropped to the Cosmos ecosystem. And there's a bunch of reasons why, I think. I think the Cosmos hub kind of got away from being like the large driver of public goods funding and actually, driving innovation of the tech stack. Osmosis, I think, did a really good job with that over the past couple of years with the Osmosis Grants Program, for example. But you can start kind of creating other lock-in incentives to get people to leverage Atom liquidity and maybe do things that maybe more directly benefit Atom stakers, and airdrops could be an option there. I haven't really talked about that at length with any of the people here on this stage, something I was kind of thinking about. But I think overall, like, what we're trying to do is create other lock-ins to make Atom a more in-demand asset in the ecosystem and drive like some of this moneyness aspects that I think it already has, but we're trying to reinforce it.
Great. I noticed that Riley has managed to join us, which is fantastic. I suspect it's not necessary to do an introduction, but Riley, at this stage, just as we're kind of discussing top level elements and Stride's use of kind of the liquidity of the hub as part of its process in the AEZ has been referenced a couple of times. I just want to know if you've got anything particularly you want to say about that, or if we should start to move into the kind of nitty gritty of some of the work that Binary have been doing.
Hey, good morning, guys. We can talk about the specifics of how Stride is using its Atom POL. It's currently deployed on Neutron, supporting Mars only right now, but soon some other apps. It might move around in the future if proposals go up to shift it, depending on what DeFi is deployed on Neutron. But for now, it's sitting there supporting Mars and I think three or four more apps that are coming live in the next few months. I think it's probably most useful to dive into the specifics of the Binary proposal, and I would love to talk about a little bit about a comment that Stride made on that proposal for some actionable next steps. But maybe once Noam gives an overview.
That's great. So that probably does mean, so Noam, would you be able to just sort of start to take us through the, is it best to start with the alignment treasury? Is that probably the best place to start?
Yeah, why not? I'll try to keep it short and simple. The post itself is quite the opposite of that. So the forum post that was more of a lot of open-ended questions. I'm like, well, you know, how should we approach some of these things? But definitely some suggestions. Really just trying to solve for or like address three main objectives. So again, we talked about AAZ growth already. So, providing liquidity. The second thing that I think is very important, and we're seeing this now with the proposal coming up with to have the Neutron airdrop tokens be delivered to the Cosmos Hub community pool, is financial alignment with consumer chains. So, you know, we have a very strong sort of alignment with all the other consumer chains and maybe also other protocols that exist on there, but it's not really formalized in the sense that we don't have any voting power on Neutron, for example. And so when this, if the community agrees to this and they want this Neutron airdrop to be deposited in the community pool, then an interesting thing happens. We have actually quite a significant, it would be 5% of the total supply of Neutron, but it would be 50% of the, or at least currently 50% of the voting power. So that's quite significant. If Neutron would say, hey, we want to go leave and become an independent chain, hopefully they won't, but if that's the case, we should be able to vote on that, right? We're considerable stakeholders in the ecosystem. We're just thinking of like, how do we design the infrastructure for doing so? And what are sort of the use cases? So again, like these like token swaps or token gifts, if you want to call it that, liquidity and that kind of stuff. So how do we do this, right? And at first, well, there's really three things here. You want to try to figure out like, well, how do we build up this treasury in the first place, right? And normally we have this community pool, but if you look at sort of like your normal way of doing accounting, you don't have, you know, you don't put all your savings into your spending account. You generally have a separate account for that. So the first step would be to like enable the community pool to have two addresses, probably one that we could call the Atom Alignment Treasury, the other one, which is be the regular community pool. And then we have to think about, well, how do we fund this Atom Alignment Treasury? Is this going to be a percentage of the money that's going to the community pool, or is this just going to be a one-time payment or something? Is it coming through a specific revenue stream like energy security or some other thing? We'll have to talk about that. And then we have to sort of like figure out, well, how are we going to start expressing some of these things we want to do in the AAZ? So like token swaps, or just like liquidity as a service, or maybe we want to decide to, now that we have a bunch of Neutron tokens, maybe we like those Neutron tokens. We want to make sure we always have a certain percentage of Neutron tokens in our treasury, right? And maybe we want to actively manage that portfolio in some ways. I think the interesting stuff comes to when we start thinking about how to actually execute on some of these desires or these expressions. So this is sort of where TimeWave also comes in, because they build out a lot of the infrastructure there on that other side. But so let's say you were talking about this, let's take the Stride example, right? Right now, the 450,000 Atom had to be sent to a multi-signature wallet, which was in this case the Atom Accelerator DAO, and they had to then, liquid stake half of it manually, and then transfer that to Astroport, and then put it in the LP in the pool, basically. And that's a lot of steps, and it's a lot of trust. And of course, we all trust the Atom Accelerator DAO, but in a decentralized future, we need to think of better solutions for this. And so, what really the Atom Alignment Treasury really does then in this case would be trying to see if there's an automated way to execute these things, where really it comes down to a simple proposal on chain that says like, hey, we want to put 450,000 Atom onto Astroport, liquid staked via Stride. And then in the background, everything just magically happens basically through the use of something similar to Covenants or whatever else TimeWave is building, maybe some other functionality. I can also imagine that some chains or some protocols build out this sort of API layer that we can plug into. But on the hub itself, a few rudimentary changes have to be made in terms of like the community pool, making it sort of like more flexible, having this separate address, improving the governance system so that we can like express ourselves that effectively. And then also, and this is the second part, which is kind of interesting, when we talk about these Neutron tokens that are coming to the hub, well, that's great that we have these tokens, that we have this voting power, but how do we actually execute on that? And in my mind, if the hub has protocol-owned liquidity and its assets that are in the community, in the AEZ, we should be able to use our Atom token to vote on what happens on Neutron. So in my mind, if we have 50% of Neutron's network, then my Atom, if I have 5% worth of Atom, that should be worth 2.5% of voting power on Neutron. And so we're thinking about how do we build a governance mechanism where you can do this, where we can actually say, hey, this is a very important proposal on Neutron. We think everyone should vote on this. So we'll move it to the hub. And now I can use my Atom tokens to basically weigh in on that decision. I'll stop there because I can keep going. But that's, I think, a decent summary.
I think what's really interesting with this, and it explains probably why the forum post was quite so mammoth, is that there's this kind of mixture of financial relationship and political relationship, and that the two are kind of very inseparably interlinked, and that you kind of start looking at tokenomics and you immediately move into political alignment. And how does voting work? And how does governance work? And then you move into, okay, and how would that ever be executable within the hub? And obviously there's a huge amount to unpack here. And I kind of know that both Max as TimeWave have a number of ways that they think we can execute. I know that Stride wrote a very practical set of steps that they think we could take pretty much immediately. But before we get into the detail of those, I just wondered whether anyone who's on stage at the moment, and I see that Spade's here as well, whether there's anything that sort of at that top kind of conceptual level, either on the financial side or on the political side, that people want to say before we kind of get into the more practical responses that there were to Gnome's post. absolutely deafening silence.
That's
either a good thing or a bad thing.
So this isn't a direct response to that question, but maybe a good transition into what you were referring to. We kicked this conversation off by introducing liquidity as a service pretty early. Something that I want to emphasize is that this liquidity as a service idea, especially the part about it that is the charging of interest, and also giving blockchains greater security guarantees, similar to like senior secured debt in a capital stack. I think these are really good for the hub long term. This should be the way we think about it. But in the short term, I think that the top priority for the hub should be distribution of Atom liquidity. Really making sure that the entire interchain thinks of Atom as that base asset, that trading pair. Maybe it's ST Atom. But point being is really prioritizing Atom distribution and not letting interest rates or onerous security guarantees get in the way, so long as you are deploying it into positions that have high strategic value. So that could be a good segue for Riley and Stride, because they came up with some short-term next steps that could be good to discuss.
Yeah, happy to jump in and discuss some of those. So we posted a short reply to the forum post that outlines some immediate steps that could be taken to improve the liquidity conditions in the Cosmos. And I think these are actionable on the 1 to 3 month timescale. And thereafter, we could roll into something that's more elaborate and long-term sustainable for the hub. But these are kind of, think of them as baby steps, some initial governance-gated actions that could be taken now. And the high level idea is to solidify the AEZ by providing lots of liquidity on the AEZ's main DEX, which is today Astroport on Neutron, and promote Atom by making it the common base pair on that DEX. Kind of like you see Osmo as the main base pair on Osmosis. Be a great way to ease the Cosmos Hub into using the AAT. And it's, I think, easily actionable right now. It's an elegant solution. You really only need one USDC Atom pool to support basically unlimited liquidity between Atom and any token, because to get to USDC, you route through the Atom USDC pool. And given that pool would be supported on Neutron, Neutron would have the responsibility to maintain the USDC pool, so the Cosmos Hub wouldn't have to sell any Atom to raise USDC to LP that pool. So there'd be no controversy around having to sell Atom in order to LP. Further, the solution we outlined introduces the concept of deploying non-Atom POL using some of the Neutron that's already in the community pool. It introduces the practice of balancing, since liquidity pools automatically balance between their two constituent assets. So you don't have to build any complicated logic on chain to do that. You just LP the pool and let it balance based on the prices automatically. It introduces the concept of a token swap with the Stride Atom swap and the liquidity deployment there. And it builds on the ST Atom process already established by adding more liquidity to ST Atom, which has more favorable IL properties than some of the other pools. It increases Atom's relevance by making it the common base pair. We've seen this work for Osmosis in certain ways. And it, most importantly than all, it hugely increases TVL and presumably also economic activity in the AAZ, in the AEZ. And it prepares the Cosmos Hub for more advanced things in the future, like what Noam described. So the actionable short-term plan is to provide liquidity on Astroport Neutron. We propose some amounts and some pairs. Those aren't super important, but the main detail is that they're all paired with Atom, and the Cosmos Hub wouldn't have to sell any Atom in order to LP the pools.
I think just to sort of like expand on this, hey everyone, by the way, I think in general I'm like a huge supporter of the sort of like initial steps that are proposed by like the straight folks, as well as outlined in Noam's post. I do think that like the beauty of them is that we can iteratively build further alignment on these steps. Like, for example, you know, say the hub was to deploy N2N as liquidity on Neutron, Neutron does have this like fairly elegant solution called voting vaults, which allow the Neutron DAO to basically allow N2N in a variety of forms, right? Whether it's like deposited as collateral on a money market or provided as liquidity, to be recognized and counted in governance. And so like we can use this system for enabling the hub to just like deploy NTRN into voting vaults so that it is able to vote, like similarly to what Noam was describing, right? So like your share of Atom staked would represent your share of the hub's NTRN voting power. Or we can also essentially do the same, but with the hub's liquidity, right? So even if the hub was to, and especially if the hub was to deploy liquidity in the way sort of like depicted, like there could be a technical solution, which of course would have to be like rigorously audited and tested and such, but there is a technical solution to allow that you know, Cosmos Hub owned liquidity to basically also generate voting power for the Cosmos Hub community as a whole, basically. So I think like these things feel like they're starting to fall into places. And I think it's like a very like a super exciting kind of direction that we're headed towards as a community, basically. Yeah, just my two cents.
Thank you, Spade. Jihan, I know you just asked to speak, so hear your thoughts.
I wanted to ask. I don't know if I came in 10, 15 minutes ago. Maybe this has been covered, but on these positions that Stride is proposing, they as I understand it, the Hub community pool would put in Atom, and then the counterparty asset would be coming out of that counterparty's chain's treasury. So but for matching as the Stride, you know, against Stride would be coming out of the Stride treasury, or Neutron out of Neutron treasury, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically the idea, with the exception that for the proposal that was made, some of those assets would be provided via a token swap.
Okay.
Some would be provided outright from the community pool.
I see. Okay. So,
yeah. So for example, for the potential like NTRN Atom liquidity that the hub could provide, like the hub just so happens to have, or like soon to have, you know, like something like $18 million of NTRN. So if it wanted to pair some of that with Atom, then it would have the sovereign ability to do so.
That's
other assets, like the Stride proposal includes. The idea that like, go first, Jihan, and then we can touch on this point.
Oh, I was going to say that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that. If the community pool owns both assets, that's interesting. How it compares having them in an LP position versus holding both of them outright. I assume that in a change, if the price of the assets changed a lot against each other, the hub would be seeing some impermanent loss versus if it had just held those. But maybe the liquidity provided is worth it for kind of, you know, enhancing the ecosystem. But on the ones, let's say we take an example where, let's say the entirety of the counterparty token came from that counterparty chain's treasury, and the entirety of the Atom comes from the community pool. I still feel like the hub is taking a position on the price of that asset. So I think that needs to be, and that might be worth it, but I think that always needs to be considered. Would you agree with that? The hub would be taking a position then, sort of making an investment in a way.
I think it depends on how it's actually implemented. Mm-hmm. But like given the current technologies, I think what most likely would happen is that, assuming that like the two sides that are being provided are of equal value, you'd probably see something whereby half of the LP tokens are sent to the Cosmos Hub and half of the other LPs are sent to whatever the counterparty DAO or chain is. And so, yeah, as a result of this, the net exposure of both parties is actually like half each asset.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is like impermanent loss risk and there's like price risk and such. So
I think this is why it's important that this is seen through the lens of alignment rather than investment, because the risk of IL is high, for either party. But the value, I think, if I've read Noam's post correctly, is that sort of strategic relationship makes that alignment critical to the success of the AEZ. And therefore, the sort of, while there is a financial position that's taken, it's kind of outweighed by the political alignment. Forgive me if I'm making an absolute hash of your very well-worded post, Noam, but is that broadly kind of correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's definitely more about alignment than anything else. Alignment for the reasons of, you know, maintaining voting power and just for growth as well, like being able to use this as liquidity as a service. On the topic of like impermanent loss, though, like, you know, like, this is something I don't recall who said this. Actually, maybe it was you, John, but that there's this risk where technically, you know, if we have a sufficient amount of neutron atom in a pool, neutron could just go ahead and dump basically on the market and then take all this atom and walk away. No offense, I don't think that's ever going to happen, obviously, but we need to protect ourselves for something like this, right? And so you could use concentrated liquidity for this, right? You just set some parameter that says like, well, below this, we'll leave the situation. So, you know, ask for support this, that's if cool. I remember correctly. And so there's like an emergency stop there where you say like, hey, if the price is going down rapidly, let's get the hell out of
that's,
here.
I mean, that seems like a great thing to add. So that way that the LPing stops below a certain price. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Another thing that has been discussed, I think, was the concept of, and maybe this is off topic, we're getting too far afield, you know, let me know, but there would be the topic, maybe we, you know, obviously we want to do these kind of things like we're talking about here, but also there's maybe there's a possibility of a protocol basically like borrowing Atom. So let's say this counterparty chain, Foo Chain, it uses its Foo tokens in the treasury to like borrow Atom with a collateralized loan using collateralized by Foo tokens. And then could set up an LP position both sides of that with other Foo tokens and then their Foo token collateralized atoms on the other side. Would that like, I mean, you know, that would maybe be another option. You think that's something that would make sense for people, or is that not a good idea?
Yeah, Jihan, I love that idea. that's actually exactly the direction that we're hoping for liquidity as a service. We mentioned in our reply that the amount of collateral that a chain puts up could play a factor in like how much Atom liquidity is lent to that chain, what interest rate is provided. So I think that collateral will eventually play a really big role. Interest rates play a really big role. Borrowing limits playing a really big role. But I also think that those probably shouldn't be the first step. I think the first step should be as simple as possible through some proofs of concept. And then once the community gets comfortable with this, once we prove that machinery works, we then add features on top. And I think collateral is absolutely the direction we would go. And just to hit on some earlier points that were mentioned, something that came up a lot when replicate security was first introduced was the idea of bootstrapping a chain's security, where they can go from zero to like having a really trustworthy amount of security. We can think of some of this liquidity as a service as complementing that security bootstrap by also having an economic bootstrap. Liquidity begets liquidity, and so you have a cold start problem. And so if from day one you have the security and you have the liquidity, the chances of your project succeeding are much higher. And so even though there is impermanent loss risk if you enter into a position, there's also just like existential risk if the hub is entering into the security relationships with Neutron, with Stride, with others, and those projects don't succeed. And so providing security and also providing liquidity helps increase the chances of that succeeding, increases the improves the narrative, the memeability of all of this. And so I just wanted to really highlight that when we're talking about the strategic value of these economic partnerships.
I'm really conscious that I've had a few people requesting to speak and then they've dropped back down just because the conversation is really flowing, but it's fantastic to see people requesting to speak. I can see that Zach is asking to speak, so I'm going to bring him up now just to see if we get some sort of further thing. Zach, did you have a question for the people on stage?
Hi, guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, so I actually have a question, right? Is it proposed that when a token that wants to join the liquidity as a service, so they want to pair with Atom, right? Is it the suggested idea that particular token has to provide collateral in order to borrow the Atom? So If the answer is yes, would Cosmos Hub actually consider waiving the collateral? The reason why I'm suggesting this is because I think the strategic benefit of aligning the liquidity, as someone said, liquidity begets liquidity. I think that position is much more important than requiring a collateral to borrow Atom, because after all, providing the liquidity into, say, Astroport, the hub actually still owns the LP pair. So I think in that sense, there's no outright huge risk involved. But the fact that, you know, we can bootstrap the liquidity very quickly if there's no collateral required would really help. And also, I think when it comes to liquidity, LP losses, it goes both ways, right? So there might actually be instances that the hub, you know, the community actually make money from it, even though that's not the end point. So I think my point being, I think liquidity as a service is very important, and there might be certain criteria that, you know, maybe we can consider foregoing, such as collateral, things like that, to really, you know, get things going at a faster pace. Yeah.
I would just want to say really quickly, just thinking about what Noam was saying about limiting the, you know, not what, I forget the technical term, but, you know, not LPing below a certain price, the concentrated liquidity, that might actually, if you say the counterparty can't go lower than this, you know, before the LPing stops, I feel like that would actually limit the downside risk for the counterparty token's price for the hub, maybe in a
way. Yeah, so any thoughts on that? Yeah.
Yeah. So Zach, I think you are totally right. And I just want to address Jihan's point real quick and then get back to yours. So Jihan, yeah, I think concentrated liquidity is a great idea. Another feature you can have is basically create a covenant between the two parties that prevents either party from doing anything with those tokens, including selling them within X period of time, like 6 months, 1 year, whatever it is. And so even if you do have that concentrated liquidity position, it gives more of that position to the broader market and not the counterparty to the trade. So that's just one additional mechanism to think about.
Oh, just one more thing I was going to ask. Is it possible? I know we're trying to keep it really simple for the first one here. So maybe I'll ask, Riley or whoever can answer. But is it possible to do the concentrated liquidity right now on Astroport? Would that be a viable thing to do in this existing proposal?
Max, maybe I'll take this one quickly. So concentrated liquidity on Astroport is not live on Neutron today. It should be live within approximately 2 to 3 weeks. The reason for that being that it's being deployed. It has been deployed on Terra. It is being tested currently, has been audited as well. Assuming that everything goes well there, we should see a proposal on the Astroport governance within, I think, a week or so that will basically, you know, lead to the deployment of the PCL pools. One thing, like just a quick note as well, is that like you might have seen this like end of fragmentation blog post we released like recently with like Astroport and Duality. But basically, like Astroport's PCL itself is already like very powerful. And then it becomes kind of like a whole different level of customizability once that becomes like integrated with Duality itself, because you get to a place where you have like like essentially app specific level of control over like the way that the liquidity is structured. And so I think like what we're going to see is that like we can even get to a point where like specific types of pools can be deployed for the purpose of these covenants, so that, you know, the parameters of how the liquidity is structured can be customized as part of the deals between the protocols, and without, you know, fragmenting liquidity, because at the end of the day, since it's the same pair, it's provided on the same book as other sort of like more mainstream types of pools, like, you know, just vanilla PCL or such, which, you know, allows one both to like really contribute to the economic growth of like the ecosystems, but also do so in a way whereby the agreements themselves can be like very deeply customizable, which I think is like fairly super exciting.
Thanks for that, Avril. So just to close some of the loops here. So these sorts of deals, like the customization of it in terms of how to enter into that concentrated liquidity position, how much collateral, what sort of interest rate, what are the borrowing limits, what are the hold terms, like all of these things. These are all things that we're building at TimeWave into the covenants. Like these are very highly customizable things. And for the first period of time, like these will be pretty tailor-made situations. But to make sure we're answering Zach's question, Zach, I think you are exactly right. We're talking about collateral, we're talking about interest rates and all these things that could be barriers in these negotiations that like slow down the distribution of Atom. And I agree with you that we should not be asking for these onerous terms, maybe these terms at all. I mean, we really should be prioritizing distribution. And just to put this in a larger context of why we think liquidity as a service should be the North Star for the hub, or at least the Atom alignment treasury. Bitcoin does not have on-chain governance. Ethereum does not have on-chain governance. Both of them have more liquidity. If they did, the hub would not be the best position to do this. But the hub does have on-chain governance, obviously, and it also has a very liquid token. And because of that, it is uniquely well-positioned to make this happen. And so I really want to stress this because there is a pattern of ideas starting in Cosmos and getting popularized elsewhere. And if we put hurdles in the way of these deals, like onerous collateral, like onerous interest rate, we might miss the boat on this. And so it's one of the reasons why we're so supportive of Riley's and Stride's ideas of just getting these deals out there quickly, while that are relatively simple, that are just like clear next steps. And we're sharing these other ideas so that to give food for thought for the community to think about, okay, once we get these baby steps under our belt, what is possible in the future? So a lot of this stuff is longer term thinking, and in the short term, we should just really get some deals done quickly with strategically relevant players.
I just want to say though, really quickly, if we had done an LP position like this with Juno last year, the entire Atom
and gone. Max and guys, so I really appreciate
Zach. John was speaking. I don't know if you can hear him.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that was ahead. All I wanted to say. So I just think it's essential to limit the downside somehow. That's just my
opinion. I agree. But also, Juno isn't strategically important to the hub the way that Neutron or Stride is. If the hub had entered into a replicate security relationship with Juno and like it just immediately died, that would look really bad for replicate security. It would look really bad for the hub's judgment. And so I'm not saying that like anyone should be able to show up to the hub and borrow liquidity. That's like absolutely not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that for highly strategic partners, we should get that liquidity flowing in like reasonably intelligent ways.
What I would like to do for the moment is just part this little bit of the conversation, because I feel this is connected to some of the stuff that probably we want to talk about governance changes that might be necessary to make this happen. And I just want to make sure that we've kind of closed off the questions that Zach was asking, and then we could move to talking about sort of how governance might need to adapt for the hub to kind of act in this way. Zach, was there something you wanted to add at this point?
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, very appreciative of what Max have said, because I think the larger picture is really to get things moving forward. So really appreciate on that comment. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. I don't know what everyone, I'd sort of imagine the space would last an hour, but conversation's really great. So I'm kind of happy to keep rolling as long as other people are. In terms of, because as you were talking and obviously taking Shihan's point about trying to limit downsides, it feels to me like there's sort of far more sophisticated governance that's probably needed in terms of agreeing what's a strategic pair, working out a kind of range of liquidity that we're looking to do, how you manage those positions. Sort of, Noam, where do you sort of think the beginnings of these kind of changes that might be needed sort of starts?
Yeah, exactly. I've been thinking about this last couple of weeks. Like, what is phase one of the Atom alignment treasury, right? And my initial thinking here is that, well, firstly, it's this community pool change. So it's like, let's make sure that the community pool has two addresses, right? It's spending account for grants and whatnot, and the things that we do right now is community spends, and then the investment and alignment address or something, let's call it, that's the AAT. And then there needs to be some kind of, so this is something that I think should happen on all SDK chains anyway. So for those who don't know, governance has changed in SDK version 46 and above. And basically now, instead of just like these four or five different specific governance proposals, you can execute any sort of message. So you can say, I want to do an IBC transfer. Can we vote yes or no? Or I want to, create this vesting account or whatever. We can do all these things now. But the problem is that the governance module, the governance module itself within the hub or any SDK chain, doesn't actually own the community pool. There's a weird little hack basically that's built to enable you to do a community spend basically. So it's like a little hack that says, when we do a community spend proposal, then and only then is the governance module authorized to do something from the community pool. So this is a bit annoying. And there's the simple way to go around this is using auth-z, but that's a kind of a hack as well. So ideally, what I'd like to do is, it is not a trivial problem to solve, but basically I want to make sure that the governance module actually owns the community pool address or addresses. We have to think about how to do this. This is like going to be a design process, but it will enable us to do a lot more. It will enable us to say like, hey, I want to now do... what's the word again? Is it autopilot stride? Like, is it Riley? Is it called autopilot to do like a liquid stake and then get your tokens straight away back?
Yeah, autopilot.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So for example, like you would have a governance proposal that says, okay, well, let's create an interchain account, or maybe not even. You don't need that for Stride, but it would say like, hey, we want to do an autopilot thing and get our liquid stake tokens back. Or if TimeWave has built out stuff that we can plug into, we can say, hey, I want to plug into that smart contract over there and do this with this amount of tokens. So this will enable us to like plug into all these other things that are being built outside of the AAZ. So that's like one of the first changes. So that's changed to the community pool slash governance. And the other changes that will be necessary really is this part about voting on other networks with Atom. So this is just like, the stuff we talked about, like now that we have these Neutron tokens either here or on Neutron, on Astroport or somewhere else, but we're able to vote, how do we vote with them? And what does that structure look like? I think those are, that is generally phase one. The first one being maybe really the community pool stuff, and we'll have to see if it's in scope to work on that governance part, but I'd like to have all of that sort of sorted in V1. And then, then we'll see what the rest of the community, how they think about, plugging into sort of like all these modular pieces that exist out there, the covenant system, the TimeWave is building, autopilot on Stride, and whatever else is there at that point. But I think this is a good starting point. And so my plan is to, do another forum post with basically a description of what this phase one looks like, and then have that be, at some point be a proposal on chain, but also super eager to get feedback from, the speakers on this Twitter space right now about whether or not this is the right priority.
I think the priority, as you outlined them, makes sense to me, e.g. focusing on, preparing the community pool and these mechanisms for, to be ready for and convenient for these things to happen. On the governance side, I think like there's a lot more like work and thinking to be done, because due to the fact that like various consumer chains have various different like voting model, like for example, Stride, I think, has the governator system, whereas Neutron has like a custom admin module plus like smart contracts. So I think that's probably where we should like kind of like fuck around and find out a little bit more. Like, for example, I think on the Neutron side, it will most likely be like fairly easy to roll this out due to the fact that like as long as we can transfer the tokens into a contract that's owned by the Cosmos Hub via an interchain account, then the hub can retain ownership and have voting power. And we can, instead of like changing the version of the Cosmos SDK on like both chains and which could be a bit like heavier, we can try these mechanisms out with just like iteration on smart contracts, which I think is a lot more realistic in the short term at least. I think from that perspective it seems very reasonable to me. I think the other two things that I would sort of like gesture towards in terms of things that we should consider on the hub as well, and especially with regards to the community pool, is the first one is like it's currently fairly unwieldy to send tokens to the community pool, because as I'm sure a lot of our like the folks on the panels, but also in the audience are aware, like the community pool is not like just a normal account, it's a module account. And so you can't just IBC transfer tokens into them. You have to have some account on the hub make a fun community pool message, right? So you have to execute a specific message. That's doable via ICA, right? So for example, for the purpose of transferring the tokens from the Neutron airdrop, like the 42 million in TRN to the Cosmos community pool, it's possible to have a contract on Neutron that registers an interchain account on the hub, transfer the tokens to that interchain account, then do an execute a fun community pool message to actually transfer the tokens to the hub's community pool. But that process itself is not super streamlined and efficient. And so potentially there's ways to make it like a little bit more accessible to facilitate these kind of like cross-chain interactions.
Yeah, that should really just be an address like any other address, so you can just deposit tokens like anything else.
Well, I think there's a trade-off space, right? Like, do you want people to be able to just like drop tokens into this? Might be a great thing. Might be a vector of like, you know, like denominations that are kind of like spam denoms, and then how do you handle them as part of like the selections in the other modules to ensure that you're not, you know, surprised to be providing like Dokwon tokens to the liquidity pair that you meant to have with Atom instead,
right?
Or something. But yeah, no, I agree. Like making this like a lot more accessible is probably a good idea. I think on like not on the community pool part, but just like general SDK stuff. I think it should be considered a priority to get the ICA controller functionality on the hub enabled. I'm not sure if there's any like technical blockers or such, but I think having the hub be able not just to have accounts being registered onto the hub by consumer chains, but also having the hub be able to own things on consumer chains and control accounts and sub-DAOs and stuff is like something that's like going to be required to really further this alignment, right? And it would unlock stuff like, you know, having DAO, for example, be like, having a DAO, for example, have its own customizable structure of DAOs on Neutron, having the hub have like, you know, like the sub-treasuries for various purposes that it could manage like trustlessly. I think all of these are like super, super interesting like directions that would be unlocked by this.
Yeah, thanks for that on the ICA host. I forgot about that one. It's actually kind of strange that we haven't enabled this yet, because that's a no-brainer.
Well, I think it kind of made sense while there was no like direct use case for it. But now that, you know, replicated security is a thing, the AZ exists, I think like that's the right time to turn it on, basically.
Exactly. And then we can already preload. Basically, we can only start creating accounts and on the networks that are within the AZ, and then have those set up, and then we know what they are, and put the LP tokens there, etc.
Exactly.
One of the things that had occurred to me around some of this conversation was some of the tooling that I think Wind had on it around gauges, so that there's a kind of ongoing vote where you, as a Atom staker, are able to say, I think that we should allocate liquidity in this sort of structure. Seemed interesting to me, as opposed to things being like one vote and it's done, and then you have to come back with another. And I recognize that that's a very radical change from the kind of very, forgive the slight pun here, binary voting structure that we have, where things either pass or fail, and then that's it until we vote again. I think that we're heading to a period of almost like ongoing continuous governance, where if we have positions, they need to be in some ways actively managed and actively evaluated, thinking about the things Jihan was saying about if the hub had this kind of relationship with Juno, then the hub might have got wrecked based on the price action. Voter sentiment could change over time, and I'm just interested in kind of how governance evolves from kind of quite this linear thing. And I know, Spade, you've got kind of more sophisticated governance within Neutron, right?
Yeah. I mean, thank you. I guess we do. I have a couple of thoughts. Like, first, I completely agree. Like, once you have like kind of like life position, it probably makes sense to have some way to manage them like more actively, right? Like a lot of like the like some of like Max's and TimeWave like most like valuable insight to me were, you know, realizing like I think he puts it very well when he says like there are structural disadvantages to DAOs and protocols participating in the economy because of the way that they can actually like make decisions and react, right? If you have to, you know, take 2 weeks before you can do anything and you have an active position in the market, then you're potentially opening yourself to being front run on a number of these like sort of situations. And so I think there's two things, right? There's on the one hand, and we can discuss this like further, like evolving the governance system, but you know, the like decentralization and security of this process will always be something that like has to be taken into account. So I don't think that, you know, will ever sort of like match necessarily the like speed of decision making of like one person that owns the keys, right? And I don't think that should be an objective either. What like to counterbalance this though, we can structure the agreements, the pools, the positions, the contracts themselves, right? We can encode into the markets the things that will protect the DAOs and the protocols participating in them, right? So like the PCL and the fact that it sort of like has kind of like limits to the impermanent loss that it will accept, for example, is one example of such things. I think like the Timeway folks propose other mechanisms as well, whereby like the position would be scaled back or up based on like the evolution of like the ratio and the balances between prices, so that, you know, the more impermanent loss can like increases, the less there is of a position to suffer that impermanent loss anyway. There's like a variety of mechanisms that we can consider in this regard. And so I think like the combination of both these things, like evolving the market structure and evolving the governance structure, is what actually ultimately will make this like can kind of like endeavor and like train of thoughts like successful. On like very briefly, just on the governance side, I think like, you know, you mentioned gauges, there's like conviction voting, there's like optimistic decision making. There's a number of ways that we can approach this, which, you know, all fall onto this like security to decentralization to like efficiency of decision making kind of like spectrum. And I don't think there's like a one size fit all sort of like mechanisms for, you know, for governance in general, but also for like specific types of decisions. And so I think this will most likely require a lot of like iteration. And so what I think is likely the most like reasonable path here is that like use a more flexible kind of like stack that are like smart contracts. And especially given the fact that a lot of these systems have already been built, right? DAODAO, for example, has worked on gauges for neutron related purposes, and that tech can be reused for the hub, right? And so like use these as experimentation layers, right? Try to figure out what works best. And then eventually that can then be brought into the SDK if we want to really bring it as part of the Cosmos hub. But then perhaps it's also fine to just control this like remotely via interchain accounts and stuff, and have this kind of like mycelium of governance of the hub around the entire AZ. Just a couple of thoughts. I think Max, you wanted to interact as well, perhaps on the market structure points.
I was just going to add, we've been, I kicked off this conversation mentioning that the allocator, and we've only been talking about the covenants since then. And so just to be clear on the relationship that we're seeing here, and thank you, Spade, for those words, we view the covenant system as an initiator of economic relationships. So you will use a covenant to kick off, to start a relationship, and then the rebalancer would be that piece of technology that would manage that relationship over time. So all those things that Avril was saying, those are all things we have been thinking about for a while. And once we have the covenants live, once we have the rebalancer live, like we will be bringing the allocator. So just wanted people to be aware of that.
Thank you. If anyone listening to the call would like to ask questions, now would be a good time to do so. But I kind of just want to loop back to Noam, because I'm thinking that, you know, this all started with the Binary's incredibly detailed post. So really, I suppose, A, do you have any responses to the kind of bit of conversation we've just been having, but also in terms of next steps in the process, what can the kind of community expect next from you and Binary?
Forgot to press on mute. Specifically on the topics that were mentioned in governance, I have not much to add. I mean, I'm a big fan of the sort of like the neutron governance model. Not sure if it applies to, you know, all of the things that we're doing within the hub. And I think I'm mostly just very curious to see how also RMIT is like researching this specific topic. What's interesting here is that Binary takes a very, we're an engineering company mostly, and somewhat a business company, but we take a very engineering heavy approach to a lot of this stuff. You know, some of you might notice that in the rest of the proposals that are coming out, like the stuff that we do is very focused on like, well, you know, this is how we practically do X, Y, Z, you know, tomorrow, basically. And this is something that, that you know, we are focused in, you know, eager to work on, basically. So in terms of next steps, which is something I always love to talk about, I think the next thing is, well, I have to think, for the Atom Alignment Treasury, the next steps would be probably a follow-up in the same form both that we have outlining phase one and two on a high level, and then soon followed by, and it depends on the timeline here, with the rest of the stuff that's happening with the AA DAO RFP for, you know, Blockworks and RMIT, but soon followed by a you know, an official proposal in the forum for phase one, basically. And then we'll have to see how the funding gets done there. Like Binary would love to build this out. We'd have to collaborate with Informal Systems, of course, but Informal has their own roadmap. But yeah, so that would be on the Atom Alignment Treasury, and then, you know, hopefully we get to build this next year or sooner, who knows. And then on our end, of course, like we have the drip coming this week, the forum post at least, that is a bit more opinionated on what to do, and it's quite specific actually. And I think it should be a really interesting conversation starter, especially with some of the proposals coming up soon. And then the Stability Reserve Fund, right? So that's coming out also. Not sure if I can make that before Cosmoverse, but hopefully around that time that will go online as well. That'll be a great conversation point. That will follow the same trajectory as the Atom Alignment Treasury, where it's first just like a high level, can we talk about this? And then probably like a phase one, phase two kind of like on-chain proposals.
That sounds fantastic. And you know, it's great, I'm sure, for everyone to be hearing what's coming up. I haven't had any further requests for people to speak. So I assume that everyone is just trying to absorb, but is there some, sorry, no, go on. What is there something you want to ask?
Well, there's some spicy questions for Jim in the chat. So maybe we can go over some of those. That's always fun. I don't know if anyone specifically sticks out, any of them, but I think it's important to address some of these things, even though they're
Let me try. Sorry, with where I'm viewing this from, I'm not seeing them. But let me just. Sorry, I know where. Yeah, and I need to open the space up in a different way to see it.
I'll pick a couple. The first question is, well, the most recent one at least is like, are covenants enforceable? To which the answer is like, yeah, that's the whole point. So like, covenants are like smart contracts which can be designed to basically. Only execute messages that are, you know, only behave, let's say, according to the rules of the agreement that have been programmed into the smart contracts themselves. So yeah, they're enforceable. They're not like social agreements, they're smart contract, they're code agreements. And I'll also take like the, how deep was Terra liquidity? I think it was pretty damn deep because it was a pretty big valuable chain. At the peak, it was like $60 billion liquidity of TVL, sorry. It had liquidity like across multiple chains and such. So yeah, Terra was pretty massive in this regard.
Yeah, I think that was a response to some of the early discussion about why does depth of liquidity matter. I think what my personal take is that it really doesn't matter how deep your liquidity is if your protocol is built on sand. So
exactly, that's what I was going to say. That is the major difference for sure.
One of the questions, Jim, is sorry, just to jump in. I know Jim is pretty vocal naysayer for a lot of things that we've been posting. And honestly, this kind of discussion is good. Like we want differing opinions. We want people to push our buttons or push and ask why we're proposing these things. So one of the questions they ask is like, what part of your proposals would incentivize anyone to buy Atom? So I think this is a really important question, right? Because at the end of the day, like we're trying to create demand for Atom. We're trying to make Atom the asset that people want to hold. And the way I think about this anyways is the hub, in order for the Atom Economic Zone to thrive, we need to have a strong Atom. And in order for it to have a strong Atom, you need a strong Atom Economic Zone, in my opinion. And obviously, it can extend beyond the Atom Economic Zone. Liquidity as a service, like what Max was saying earlier, like we actually see a vision, a world where Atom starts lending liquidity out to other chains outside of the security zone of the hub. But I think in order to jumpstart the economy around the hub, that the hub needs to kind of like be that, I guess the one that jumpstarts the engine. And there's a cold start problem with on-chain economy in general. I think if the hub is able to enter these agreements with chains in the Atom Economic Zone, with protocols that are launching specifically on Neutron, I think you're going to see like a jumpstart of liquidity that's going to create more economic activity. That's going to lead to more fee revenue for the hub over time with the revenue share agreements that we're seeing. So I think like it's going to take time. Like, and I think that's one thing everyone has to understand. Like, we're not going to see a large amount of fee revenue happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen overnight. These types of things will take years to happen. But in order to jumpstart that, in order to hopefully like shorten the time frame it takes to actually see like sustainable revenue for Atom stakers, I think the hub's gonna have to play like a major role in jumpstarting the economy around it. So I also think like the Atom alignment treasury that Noam's proposing is now that instead of the treasury just holding Atom, it's now gonna have I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the word, but you're actually going to see like the Atom treasury actually hold multiple assets, which I think is important because I think that actually raises like the fundamental floor for what Atom is. As soon as you start seeing like more productive assets being held in its treasury, that should generate more revenue for hub stakers over time. And ultimately, like it makes Atom like the shelling point of the ecosystem and makes the Atom the asset that people want to hold. There's like a lot of indirect benefits, but there's also going to be a lot of direct benefits that you're going to see over time. But again, it's not, to be realistic, it's not going to happen tomorrow overnight. It is going to take some time.
I think, you know, as a sort of short form, I think that a lot of the work that's happened here is around fixing the economics associated with interchain security so that Atom benefits from it. I think that what Informal have done in terms of shipping interchain security on a technical side has been phenomenal, but the economic side of it doesn't yet deliver on to the same level, and it doesn't return for Atom stakers in the same way. But as we create better alignment and create these flywheels within the AEC, that should start to pay off on the economic side of it. Is sort of broadly where I think this is going from. Max, do you want to chip in?
Yeah, just wanted to check in. Jim, I saw your comment about just trust us, bro, right? So I want to address that. So the whole point about covenants is that you don't have to trust us. Right now with the 450K Atom, like that's being managed by a multi-sig. Like that is the trust us, bro situation of the multi-sig. With covenants, these are smart contracts. So all you need to do is look at the code, trust the code. And so I guess like, okay, you need to trust that we have the ability to build these contracts. And just to give you guys a little teaser of what we'll probably be posting in the next few weeks or months. But TimeWave has already built Covenant V1. The Covenant V1 is the set of smart contracts that will enable the Atom Accelerator DAO to migrate away from a multisig and start using smart contracts. And we got these contracts audited by Informal. There were zero critical issues, zero high issues, zero medium issues. There were only like two like small ones and like three informational. Like it was a very successful audit. So the whole point that we're trying to really stress here is that it is not trust us, bro. It is let's make these agreements crypto native.
I think there's another good point that's raised in these comments, which is like, hey, what happens to Atom if now suddenly the hub is doing all of the actions and taking all of the opportunities that generally motivate like owning and having exposure to Atom, right? So the idea that like, hey, maybe I can LP it or something, right? I think like the first thing is like currently, I don't think that's such a driver of like having exposure to Atom. I think like, you know, staking is generally preferable to being an LP. But beyond this, I still think it's a good question. And like in my sort of like frame of reference, these things should be used kind of like strategically in two ways. Like first, they're really good at bootstrapping things. If you bootstrap a pool, that doesn't mean that there's no like opportunity for other organic liquidity to like from users to come in and also contribute to that pool, not that it gets necessarily too diluted. And especially since when you do these deployments, you have like some tools that you can leverage, e.g. if the goal is to really maximize revenue for the hub, you could argue that the LPs should be staked in what are called like on Astroport, at least like generators, which are like the contracts that are used to distribute incentives. I think in most cases, it makes sense not to do that because like at the end of the day, given sort of like the size of the hub, the revenue is actually kind of meaningless because it's so diluted. But if you don't stake it into the generators, what happens is that the pool sells, like the liquidity position still accrues trading fees. It just doesn't accrue additional incentives. And so the additional tokens that can be slapped on top of the pool. And so then what happens is that you can have the pool be bootstrapped and stable by having this like layer of protocol owned liquidity that's like ensures that regardless of the conditions, kind of like there's a liquid pool and a liquid market for like Atom and all of its pairs. And then you can still slap additional tokens, like for example, the consumer chain tokens or the DEX protocols tokens on top of this to incentivize like organic liquidity and just like, you know, like you and me to basically join the pool as well. But because the LPs aren't staked, the incentives aren't diluted. They're only distributed to actual LPs, right? Not to the protocols. And so what that does is that it allows you to basically granularly control and make sure that you're preserving the opportunities for people to actually use these assets in DeFi without having necessarily all the yields or rewards being kind of like, captured by protocols themselves, right? Which would probably hinder the velocity, the churn in the market, and wouldn't be such a great outcome at the end of the day.
That's an excellent point. Crypto Guru, you had your hand up to speak, so I just brought you up.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Fantastic. So yeah, guys, thank you very much for a wonderful space here. Just in terms of alignment to Atom economic zone, I think what is important is not to lose the retail perspective. Dynamic liquid staking tax with all the graphs and stuff. I think it's really, really important to dumb it down to the level of ordinary people who not necessarily have the same vision as you guys. For example, part of the fees is accruing to Atom stakers, but the reality is it's just dust. Same is true for Stride, same is true for Neutron. It really is not any value to, let's say, a normal retail staker. So I think the point number one here is obviously what can we do as users, as supporters of Cosmos to think cleverly around it. One of the ideas I've been putting forward is rather than giving the dust to the stakers, there is an opportunity here actually to give all the dust back to actually Atom community pool. So the community pool in future doesn't need to sell Atom and then have the sell pressure and boot, like Spade was saying, bootstrap liquidity. I understand that if the hub starts selling Neutron, for example, or starts selling Stride instead of Atom, that might actually have a downward pressure on the Neutron, on Stride and others tokens. But maybe we can reach a balance. So that's my point number one. Point number two, obviously, as I have hinted, we are talking about Atom tokenomics here. I think we really need to make an effort to speak to common man and then explain things in way they understand why these three labs that are working on improving tokenomics, what are they doing, and explain it to retail as well. Because let me tell you something. For you guys might not be important, the price goes up, but for retail to bring massive amount of users, I think positive price action goes a long way. Thank you, folks. Really appreciate it.
These are some great questions. And to your first point, and in general, just like really good feedback, actually. To your first point, I'm personally of the opinion that yes, that should probably happen. I understand that other people might look at it differently, but I do think it makes a lot of sense for, you know, the dust of interchain security to go to, for example, the Atom Alignment Treasury or the community pool in some way, especially exactly for the usage of liquidity as a service and all these other things that we're talked about today. So I'm a fan of that. I think that's a separate sort of proposal that, you know, also the consumer chains need to ratify this internally. So, but yeah, I'm a big fan of that idea. But as to your second point of, you know, basically dumbing what we do down, which I think is a really valid point. You know, it shouldn't be that atom holders have to read like a 10-page essay to keep track of what's happening, right? It needs to be digestible. It needs to be simple. To that point, I do think we are currently just still at the research stage. And so we will speak in research language, if you will. And, you know, the conversations are going to be rather in depth, and because we have to work out a lot of these kinks and details. However, you know, when we get to that stage where these things go on chain or, you know, on the forum where it's like an official proposal, yes, the language needs to be much simpler and, you know, the motivations need to be very clear as to why we're doing what we're doing. I think Cosmoverse will be a really good place for this as well. I know Effort Capital, David, you're doing a keynote talk, if I remember correctly. I'm going to be on the panel on the day three together with Chris from RMIT to discuss this specific topic. I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities to discuss this also in person with all the people. I think I really encourage people to just, you know, walk up to any of the people that are working on this and to just, you know, start a conversation. But yeah, we got to do a better job also online in terms of, like, you know, these Twitter spaces are here for that. But I think we would do well with, you know, partnering also with some of the people who are good at explaining these things in very simple terms, like CryptoCito, for example, and some of the other influencers in the space. So yeah, definitely a point taken and noted, and we'll do our best, of course, to make this as palatable as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to chime in here, I think ultimately what we're trying to do is we're trying to show the wider Interchain and other projects that want to launch in the Cosmos ecosystem that, one, the Cosmos Hub is open for business, not just as a security provider, but potentially as a liquidity provider as well. And what you're getting in the hub, if you take part in this, like this new vision, is like you're getting a long-term partner. You're getting a partner that actually wants to see you succeed because there's like skin in the game now. I think what you're seeing, like with, I've said this on a handful of other spaces at this point, but and I think Max alluded to it very eloquently, like not only is the hub a shared security provider now, when you leverage on-chain governance with those two, with the shared security property, you're actually getting like bilateral or multilateral like alignment. L2s align with Ethereum, but Ethereum is not aligned with L2s. And I think this special superpower that the hub has with on-chain governance is like you're allowed to create like opinionated agreements with chains and other projects that want to launch in the Atom Economic Zone. I think that's super powerful. So I think when it comes back to like the original question is like, how does this create demand for Atom? I think the vision is, if the hub is able to leverage its on-chain governance, leverage its shared security properties to align with other chains and other projects that also want to align back with the hub, you're getting like a long-term partner. You're not getting mercenary capital. You're getting like a partnership that we think is going to hopefully stand the test of time. And we think like through those long-term alignment, so you're actually aligning agreements politically, socially, economically, and from a security perspective, that's going to naturally create a demand for Atom over time. And then ultimately what it's going to hopefully create is such a large on-chain economy that it's going to create like actual revenue for the hub that, and for its stakers. So it's no longer, it's no longer dust. It's actually like a legitimate yield bearing asset. So that's why I think it's really important that the dust that we're getting today, or even like treasury swaps that we ultimately do with Neutron and Stride and other consumer chains and projects, is like we're not using those assets to just dump it, because the moment that we start selling Neutron and Stride, like to me that alignment is gone. Like we want to see them succeed as a project, and vice versa, they want to see the hub succeed. So we're kind of trying to balance out. We're trying to balance it out. Long story short,
I think unless there are any further questions, I feel like that's a really great sort of position to end on. It is worth me saying we're going to try and do more of these spaces with Blockworks and with RMIT. We've also got some scheduled live from Cosmoverse at the end of each day from there. So there are plenty of opportunities for people to continue to listen to these conversations, take time to digest things, reread forum posts, come back with your questions. This is going to be a very iterative process, and we really value everyone's input. I'd like to thank everyone that's spoken today and asked questions, whether that was by coming up on stage or asking them in the chat or between the panelists themselves. I think this has been a super useful space. I'm really looking forward to us doing more of these and getting as much input into the process as we possibly can, because as I think the conversations have shown, it's all very complex, but there's some really big opportunities here for the hub. And the more input we get at this point, the more useful that can be. Thank you very much, everyone, and we will catch you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank Bye. You.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Nice.
I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad and these mugs out here robbing, you gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100, I'm just building abundance. The sum of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty, you ain't no man. I keep robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology. There's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried. Imagine the smell, that shit is a vital experience. Without no and how you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaceship for the life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen, I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little laugh, man. Go on, fuck off, man. Do one, fuck off. Harmony. Me and the other one, do you looking for a fucking job? You fucking idiot. You've just been fucking at my desk. Fuck off.
Try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsor lobotomy. Feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosts in this pottery. Chill, Demi, boy, the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't, ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle. Airdropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up on the truth. Because I'm not the year, all those sub-downs would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Moldy shipping more than five guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash phones bang, they're feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers. We got layers, meteor, jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters. We rapping a lot of pay dirt, maxing out relayers. Imagine the smell, $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
It's really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live, and we're going to their house. We're going with a wrench, a big wrench, and we will attack them with the wrench, and then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right. So this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to Lunk in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench, and they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it. But if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard. And then they say, stop, don't do that again. And we say, that's okay. Just give us your validator node, and then they give it to us, and we drive it to China.
Channel Spaces.